This is Richard Roth, and this is The Passage for July 11th, 2013. I'm going to talk about the art exhibition I curated. It's called Art Meets Art, Perspectives on and Beyond Olana. The title was suggested by the curators at Olana, Evelyn Trebilcock, Valerie Ballant, and Mark Przeworski. I proposed a show to Sarah Griffin at Olana, I don't know, a couple of years ago. What I envisioned at that time was that painters and photographers would go to various locations at Olana and a place where you could see Olana in the so-called view shed, and create work that would then form a show. When I brought this up with Sarah Griffin, she liked the idea, but she thought that there wasn't a lot of space there. A lot of their gallery space was committed, and the space that would be available is the Coachman's Gallery, around the corner from the museum shop. It's about 150 square feet, probably, quite small, quite charming. And she suggested maybe it could be a sort of two-part thing with the Hudson Opera House. So I proposed that to Gary, and he agreed to it, and eventually the board at Olana agreed to it. And then, even before I proposed, I guess at the very beginning anyway, with discussing with Sarah Griffin, I proposed to Annie Leibovitz that she might want to contribute something. She was in a self-portrait show in 2010, and she said she'd love to shoot at Olana. She'd been wanting to for a long time, and maybe this would give her the opportunity. She was there signing. She was at Hyde Park signing her book, Pilgrimage. As things developed, as the show developed, it became clear that the subject could be expanded beyond just narrative descriptions or representations. Because I like a lot of artists, and I like a lot of different kinds of artwork, and I like it in one place. And this title, there was also, so we wanted to accommodate Annie, for whom actually shooting there would be very difficult in her schedule, because she goes around the earth about once a week to various stops. And she would be able to contribute something she had done on one of Church's subjects, Niagara Falls, which was the cover of her book, Pilgrimage, inspired when she was there, and it's the same view as Church's 8.5-foot painting at the Corcoran Gallery in Washington. Olana had also the desire to include DJ Spooky, also known as Paul D. Miller, an artist, or the artist in residence, the first in history artist in residence, I believe, at the Metropolitan Museum of Art this year. And Olana wanted to include him in the show, and he wasn't necessarily going to take a picture or paint a picture. So we expanded it to include, to say, perspectives on and beyond Olana. This also includes conceptual art, the Chopazzi. And the show progressed to include Marina Abramović, who also would not be able to create specific work for the show. And I thought it was very important to include her in the show because Lucio Pazzi stresses the need for community, for cooperation, for what he says, emulation, not competition. And so if Marina realizes her dream, she will have joined the Hudson Opera House and TSL and Club Helsinki and Basilica Hudson and Elena Mosley and all these other people who've been around Hudson for a long time, turning it into an arts community, the galleries, the artists. And so I asked her to be in the show. There are artists I wish I had included in this show. Nancy Hagen works, a still life painter, works from life, and there are rules that painters are not allowed to work inside the house at Olana. Art materials are not allowed. Photographs are allowed, but art materials of any kind are not allowed. There also were time constraints. Olana could provide artists with one visit for 6 to 8 hours, if necessary, to be in Olana, looking around in the rooms at Olana, looking at everything, and then deciding where they wanted to take photographs. And some people had paintings that I liked and wanted to use, such as John Anderson, my friend, formerly had an antiques shop called Foxfire on Warren Street, had an Edward Avedisian from 1996 of the South Bay at sunset with loosestrife. And so not exactly a painting of Olana, but a nice painting by an important painter. And John Mora, who was a very meticulous and very skilled painter, had a painting from a few years ago which suited perfectly what I wanted to convey in the exhibition, namely Olana, past and present and future. I wish I had also wish I included Gerard Malanga, and that was simply an oversight on my part. He had been in a self-portrait show. He was not by his choice, not in the Warren Street show a couple of years ago, and it didn't occur to me that he might have done something at Olana. And now, in retrospect, I think that he probably would have contributed something very nice. So, my apologies to Nancy and Gerard and the public for not including them. This is Richard Roth, and this is The Passage, a monthly show on WGXC devoted to the creative life. Today I'm going to talk about Art Meets Art, Perspectives on and Beyond Olana, a show I curated at the Hudson Opera House on Olana State Historic Site, opened on the 8th of June, will be at the Opera House until the middle of August, and at Olana, those 12 pieces, at Olana until the end of October. So, you just heard the first one-fourth or so of Igor Stravinsky's suite from The Soldier's Tale. One of the artists in the show, R.O. Bleckman, won an Emmy for his animation to that Stravinsky piece on public television some years back. And R.O. Bleckman, who's also done dozens of covers for the New Yorker magazine and animations for all sorts of people, Huffington Post, IMBY, many, many people over a long career. I think he's now in his 80s and still going strong. His piece for the show is called Frederick Church Creates Olana. You have the artist flying through the sky with an artist's palette, pointing down toward a fully realized Byzantine house, the house he built at Olana back in the 1870s. And it's the first page in the catalog, aside from an essay by John Ashbery explaining everything about Olana and Church, who was in his day the most famous artist the world had ever known. The catalog is a 50-page catalog. The first 12 pages are devoted to artists who are showing at Olana, starting with DJ Spooky, also known as Paul D. Miller. Spooky took a map that was commissioned by Church in the 1870s of the home site and farm site at Olana with all the roads and some indications of the plantings, and superimposed upon that the latitude and longitude, something which is of particular interest to the artist. He's made several trips to the Arctic where he's photographed ice. He also composes music. On a facing page with DJ Spooky, a painting by Phyllis Jorth, oil painting entitled Frederick Church Meets Edouard Manet, oil on canvas 24 by 30 inches, courtesy of the artist and BCB Art, Bruce Bergman's gallery on Lower Warren Street in Hudson. What Phyllis has done is to paint the famous picnic scene, the picnic on the grass with the naked lady and the bearded artist. But instead of a French park, it is a hillside at Olana, placed on a hillside at Olana, in the snow, with the front range of the Catskills in the background. Phyllis has painted many, many portraits of people in Hudson, including once, I think, well over 100 paintings of children. She also made a project, and those were displayed in numerous storefronts along Warren Street. She also made a project of painting people with their pets, and I think several of those found homes with the pets and pet owners depicted. On the next page, Olana, Matthew 6, by the artist Makoto Fujimura. Mineral pigments and gold leaf on kumohada, which is a kind of Japanese rag paper that's mounted to linen. Mr. Fujimura was the first non-native born Japanese artist to learn the Nihonga technique, which uses these ground-up mineral pigments. He also does some action painting. He will do performances where someone plays drums or some other instrument while he creates a painting. In this case, he made a series of paintings at Olana, inspired by Frederick Church and the Hudson River School. This particular one is called Matthew 6 because words from chapter 6 of the Gospel according to St. Matthew are quoted in gold leaf on the painting, somewhat obscure, but if you look closely, you can see them. It's a beautiful painting. A sort of abstract view of the river, the famous view from the house at Olana, a bend in the river and a sort of widening. On a facing page with that, a photograph by Sarah Sterling, Yellow Swamp, 2012, which is remarkably similar in color and texture to Mr. Fujimura's painting, even though it's a digital photograph made in 2012, 15 by 20 inches. One of the several swamps and ponds and seasonal wetlands at Olana, 250 acres of a designed landscape. Then, a black and white photograph by Lynn Davis, Petra Jordan, 1995. The scene is well known. It was in one of the Indiana Jones movies. A crack in the rock beyond which you see a sort of Greek revival temple carved into the mountain. Church painted this scene. In fact, it was the only major painting he kept in the house at Olana while he lived there in the 19th century. On a facing page with Lynn, another famous female photographer, Annie Leibovitz. Niagara Falls, Ontario, Canada, 2009. In her book, Pilgrimages, or Pilgrimage, rather, she talks about how she took her children to Niagara Falls. They were dancing around, excited on this spot, which happens to be the same spot where Church made his 8.5-foot painting of Niagara Falls, which is in the Corcoran Gallery in Washington, D.C. Ms. Leibovitz made a digital photograph of very, very high shutter speed, so you see quite spectacular detail in the water, a kind of a sense of vertigo as though you're posed over the water yourself in that massive horseshoe of the Niagara Falls. Then, Stephanie Rose, Court Hall, Olana, 2013, oil, acrylic, graphite, and laser print on paper, 16 inches in diameter. Stephanie took a photo of the Court Hall, the famous entranceway and grand hall in the center of the house, where Church kept some of his many artifacts collected on his travels in Europe and the Middle East. This she mounted in the center of a 16-inch circle with a painting around it in her characteristic geometric style, somewhat surrealistic, deep color, a lot of rhythm and internal motion in Stephanie's work. Stephanie had a major show at the Albany Institute of History and Art last year. It was for several months, I think nearly 24 portraits. Among her subjects is John Ashbery. On a facing page with Stephanie's piece, a chair painted by Bill Sullivan, the late Bill Sullivan, much beloved Hudson personality, called View from Olana. It's acrylic. There was a show in 2006 where a number of artists from Hudson, I don't remember who all was involved, I do remember Dini Lemieux did something. Everyone was given a wooden chair from Allenby Chair Factory, which unfortunately is now no longer in business, given free rein to decorate it as they chose. Bill had painted many times, painted the same view of the river from the house as described in the Fujimura painting, along with the numerous paintings of Niagara Falls and other church subjects. This chair is in the collection of Albert Roberts, Hudson art collector, collector of not only Bill Sullivan, but Edward Avedisian, Stephanie Rose, and many the 19th century paintings, including members of the Hudson River School. Turning the page, Sasha Chermayev, Olana from My Side of the River, a very small painting, 6 7/8 by 10 3/4 inches, oil on a plywood panel. Sasha is a painter who nearly always finishes a painting in one sitting, never spends more than a day on one. This is a very pretty painting. It's a view of Olana. You can see the house on top of the hill as it would be seen from her home on the Catskill Creek. Then a beautiful collage by Melora Kuhn entitled For Frederick Church. Melora took 19th century prints and collaged them into a kind of generic 19th century romantic view of mountains and cataracts. And Melora is an artist of immense imagination and scope. One never knows quite what she's going to do next. It might be a life-size horse sculpture. It might be an engraving. It might be a painting. It might be something we've never thought of yet. Then, the first half of a double diptych by Lucio Pazzi, another immensely talented artist, a teacher at the School of Visual Arts for 3 decades, who was at Cooper Union before that. Back in 1965, when nobody had done such things, he put on a performance piece there. The inside of Cooper Union was being gutted. The inside of the building was being gutted so that 2 more floors could be added, and the ceilings lowered, and the grand staircase removed. And so, to commemorate that occasion, Lucio created a performance piece called 25 Nudes Descending a Staircase, with a cast composed of students from his drawing class. Even New York City wasn't ready for something like that in 1965, hard though it may be to believe only 50 years later. And so it became something of a scandal. Lucio's wonderful advice, I interviewed him here on WGXC a few months ago, as somebody who knows, as somebody who was there. He says Hudson reminds him of Soho in the 1960s, when it was still young and fresh and idealistic and full of energetic new ideas. And he says Hudson can stay that way, can keep its freshness, if people will remember one thing: emulation, not competition. Rather than trying to kill each other, if artists and organizations in this town can learn that they can learn from each other, can help each other, can augment each other, and grow with each other, then, he says, Hudson will continue to be a viable art center indefinitely. So one hopes this will sink in. The more that's going on here, the more tourists come, the more money they spend in restaurants, which increases the profits of the business owners,
perhaps,
and in fact, I think very likely increasing their donations to local charities such as the Hudson Opera House, TSL, etc., and helping those entities grow, helping them put on more programs, and making Hudson that much better a place. So those are the pieces at the Coachman's House Gallery at Olana.
Thank you.
The Hudson Opera House. On a facing page, although there is the one sheet of paper between them, on a facing page is the other half of Lucio Pazzi's double diptych. Eventually, they will be joined. Now they are two, but as Lucio says, they are not only two, but one. On the facing page to Lucio, a beautiful painting by John Mora, a very, very skilled painter. He can paint in the style of the Hudson River School, but generally includes some distinctly 20th century content. In this case, it's a bunch of railroad spikes and other rusted equipment, which are sort of cast aside in the foreground with the romantic 19th century romantic painting in the background, Twilight of Industry. John Mora is one of those people who astounds you with his intelligence and with his range and with his knowledge. I happened to say one day that my favorite painting was a small painting by Velázquez in the Prado in Madrid, seen in the Medici Gardens. And it's not more than 18 by 24 inches. And he said, you know, I just went and looked at that painting again. That is amazing. There's nothing going on, but it's absolutely great. And, of course, he's completely right about it. But the point is that out of the thousands of paintings in the Prado alone, not to mention the entire world, John Mora has an intimate knowledge of this painting. He can talk endlessly about artists. Then, a controversial piece. I wanted to include Marina Abramović in this show. She's an important artist. She's controversial. People think she hogs the spotlight, that she promotes herself endlessly. And, of course, the fact is that she is her own subject. And she is her own subject in this show, which has caused a couple of people to ask me what it has to do with Alana. As far as I'm concerned, it has to do with... it's a sort of... reaction to the awesomeness of the place. It's called Portrait with Flowers. She's staring ahead with the determination of a visionary. And, of course, her vision is to create something in Hudson which is almost on a scale with Olana. If she's able to realize that vision of the Marina Abramović Institute, which is going to cost $12 million or something like that, in the old community tennis building, formerly the community theater, on the corner of 7th and Columbia Street. If she's able to do that, and if nothing else, she would create a space where people would be separated from their handheld devices for 6 hours. Absolutely no contact with handheld devices or anything else in the outside world. Nothing except silence, your own mind, and whatever she happens to be putting in front of you for 6 hours. The painting I really wanted originally the photograph rather, that I wanted from Marina is called Holding the Lamb, where she has her back to the camera, she's holding a lamb into the air, against a background of mountains, which looks almost identical. The background looks almost identical to a church oil sketch seen near Olana, something like that, he called it, in the collection of the Cooper Hewitt. Not actually done here. It was done in Spain. And in any case, there was not a print was not available. There were... three black and white photographs Marina gave me to choose from. One was a portrait with wood, actually her first choice. That was not available. And so I settled for Portrait with Flowers, which I think makes a beautiful addition to the show. And I'm sorry if people can't see its relevance. I think that it doesn't take more than a fairly cursory visual sense to make the connection. On the facing page to Marina, a beautiful sculpture by Ed Smith, also perhaps a little off the literal interpretation of Olana, but it's called Amazon. It's over 6 feet tall, bronze. Turn the page. a black and white infrared photograph by Peter Aaron walking the North Carriage Road in early spring at Olana. Looks like Central Park, which of course is not an accident, since one of the designers of the Central Park consulted with Frederick Church on Olana. Then Frederick Sprague by Ken Polinsky on ink and gouache on artist-made paper. Ken Polinsky made paper grounds for the late Richard Archweiger, one of three artists to whom I dedicated this project: Richard Archweiger, Bill Sullivan, and James Rossant, all of whom died within the last couple of years. A frog, close-up of a frog, with a man fishing in the background. The following page, a colored pencil drawing by Philip Howie. Philip Howie is married to Sasha Tremayev. When Hurricane Irene came through, their house and they each have a studio. The house and both studios were under several feet of water from the flooding from the hurricane. They're right on the creek. It was a severe trauma, one might well expect. And shortly, within a few days, Philip had a severe stroke, lost the use of his right hand, which was the hand he used for making art. He's always drawn. He also has shown sculptures, I guess you could say neoclassic sculptures, male nudes, generally in pairs. Nothing homoerotic about them, but pairs of male nudes in the style of Greece or Rome. Anyway, he lost the use of his right hand. He has retrained himself to work with his left hand, and this was one of the first major drawings he did with his left hand. It's called Frederick Church with an Inverted Landscape. It's done after a photograph made by the Matthew Brady Studio in 1847, I believe. The young church, Philip changes the hands instead of having a hand tucked into the frock coat, sort of Napoleon style. The hand is outside and the other hand is, the right hand is outside, the left hand is kind of reaching out toward the edge of the frame. And there's something youthful, and the figure is the young church. There's also something about the beginner, something about an artist at the beginning of his career, and in a sense, Philip is starting over, and so he is a young beginning artist. A beautiful piece, a sensitive piece, and something I'm happy to say that has received some very good, very favorable comments from the public who've seen the show. Opposite Philip's piece is a beautiful painting by Tony Thompson, one of the best painters we have in the area here. It's called Tapestry 2, done in 2004. It's a kind of Rorschach view of Olana. You see the house and trees in the foreground leading down to the pond, down by the barns, if you're familiar with Olana. And the entire scene is reflected in reverse, above that. Then Olana Sky Number 8 by David Frank, facing Our Banner in the Sky by Richard Minsky. Richard Minsky he found a black and white reproduction of the church painting, one of his most famous paintings, and something that nearly everyone would recognize on site, where the sunset sky is forming itself into an American flag. David, unbeknownst to each other, these two artists, David Frank and Richard Minsky, were working on these two pieces. David's photograph is the exact palette of Church's painting. Some people consider the painting a bit hokey. It's apparently the being used extensively by the Metropolitan Museum right now for their Civil War show. At any rate, the sky in David Frank's photograph looks like it's just forming into the getting into the formation that Church painted in his Our Banner in the Sky. Then Benjamin Sweat's self-portrait of Olana. You see the photographer reflected in a window beyond a Moorish arch and beyond Mr. Sweat, that same bend in the river. Benji has made a series of self-portraits, reflected self-portraits. One of them was in my self-portrait show in 2010, Self-Portrait at the Opera. Opposite Benji, a beautiful photograph by Chad Kleitch, a perfectionist and a brilliant photographer, Stairway to Spire Olana, 2013. The polished wood, the reflective surfaces, the amber light, the plush chair, the very evocative. Turning the page, a painting by our brilliant local painter, Dan Roop, plein air painter, Square Shadow Shed Olana, 2013. Oil on paper, 10 by 10 inches, almost an abstract painting. On the opposite page is South Bay at Sunset with Loosestrife, 1996 by Edward Avedisian. Edward Avedisian was an abstract painter. He came up to Hudson in the, I'm not sure just when. In the 70s, he was extremely well known in at Expo 67. He was in a pavilion with Frankenthaler and Warhol and Jim Dine and Rosenquist and all the other major painters of the day. He came up to Hudson and was inspired to start painting from life. So even though this is this South Bay Sunset is a narrative painting, it also is very abstract. It's primarily loose strife purple and a deep green and a bright orange and tan, and a lovely painting loaned by John Anderson, a local collector and former art dealer, or antiques dealer, rather. Then Margaret Skalinski's Cut 5, a sculpture made of plexiglass and photographs, 12 and a half by 12 and a half by an inch and three quarters deep. A photograph by Tom Froese, Olana, 2013, a bright red fire hydrant in the foreground, and Olana, the house, in all its massive glory looming in the background. Rodney Allen Greenblatt's Frederick Church and Olana, acrylic on canvas, 18 by 26 inches, a kind of diptych on one side, church, looking wistfully toward the other side of the other half of the diptych, which depicts the house and lists a number of relevant facts having to do with it. Church's life, church's work at Olana. Facing that, a wonderful painting by Bruno Pasquier de Vigne, View from Olana, made in 1993, oil on panel, 24 by 19 inches. Again, the bend in the river of Olana. The lovely thing about this is the smoke curling up from two cement plants, which are no longer extant, much to the delight of a lot of people. They look picturesque as seen by Bruno. Following page, a beautiful photograph by Robert Rodriguez Jr., River Reflections, Hudson River, archival pigment print. The earth and sky, river reflecting the sky, so it's a sort of union of earth and sky. And opposite that, Days of Future Past, a horrific nightmare as envisioned by Tim Slawinski of Limner Gallery, based on an actual visualization of the nuclear power plant that was almost approved in the 1970s, just downriver from Olana, in full view. Tim has painted that, plus a farmer leading his three-headed cow toward Olana, a bunch of mutated trees, another factory of some kind dripping green toxic water into a toxic looking green river. Then, a construction by Eric Rhine, Niagara, inspired by Frederick Church and Alana, wire and found objects, 22 by 34 by 3 inches, a kind of box, hard to describe, the some paintbrushes, some bone, some hunks of fabric, some prisms from a chandelier. Overall effect, stunning, facing that small painting by Willie Chambers, Mac Chambers as he's known to friends, 12 by 16 inches, family stairs at Olana. He was particularly, several of the artists were given an opportunity to go to Olana and look around. Mac was particularly taken with the family stairs, which are behind a private door. The children were kind of kept isolated, in a sense, from the hustle and bustle of a busy artist life and people who would be coming and going and even staying at the house. And Church himself designed this small staircase. Leads maybe half a floor up from the bedroom level on the second floor to the children's wing. Then a wonderful photograph by Carolyn Marks Blackwood, Guest Room at Olana, archival print 20 by 30 inches. I think it says something about Church that he gave his guests the best view in the house. I knew some people in the Hamptons. In fact, they bought Chuck Close's old house, and they had a guest house, a guest cottage in the back. And apparently to discourage guests from wanting to stay too long, they had a refrigerator in that guest house that sounded like a gravel truck going by every time it started up. It was just miserable. I knew other people said, oh, well, I don't mind if a house has a guest room as long as it can't be, you know, spotted easily by, you know, casual visitors. Church, on the other hand, apparently loved his guests. And Carolyn did the most beautiful photograph of that room and that scene beyond. Facing that, Church Character Bible by Barbara Slate, who's a graphic novelist and a writer of stories for comic books. And she writes Betty and Veronica comics, writes the stories. And she's taken the same Matthew Brady photograph that is the basis for Philip Howey's piece and put it against a romantic sky and listed all the, or not all, but a number of important events in Church's life, a kind of a reference piece and a very nice addition to the show. And then finally, Earl Swanigan. Earl, as he's known, our street painter in Hudson, extremely talented outsider artist, Olana with Church's ghost. He declined to actually go to Olana and paint because he said architectural paintings were not his thing. He paints animals. But he did a kind of impressionistic view of Olana with Church, the ghost of Church, kind of coming out the roof. And Church looks like a very beneficent, very friendly ghost. So that is the show. Art meets art. Perspectives on and beyond Olana. Catalog available at the Opera House or the gift shop at Olana. The essay by Ashbery alone is worth the $10, and you get all these reproductions of all this fantastic art as well. The catalog was designed by Sean Soares Kern, pro bono, a talented young artist who works for John Isaacs, publisher of Our Town magazine and founder of IMBY, In My Backyard, a new social networking website. So, that's it. Music today is all by Stravinsky, all from The Soldier's Tale. Thank you very much.
Thank you.